Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School, La Mirada. Thank you for joining us here at Solid Ground. And today, Pastor Brian concludes this week's study on the spiritual gift of teaching by warning against fanciful and imaginative interpretations of Scripture. So if you'd like to follow along, Pastor Brian is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. So let's go to Calvary Chapel, La Mirada, and Pastor Brian Parrish.
Now, I believe that's what verse 20 and 21 guards against, knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is any private interpretation. And that could mean, you know, you have some sort of insight that no one else has, or it could be in relationship to, you know, the source, what he says in verse 21 is the Holy Spirit, not you. The truth of the Word of God comes from the Holy Spirit, not you. And I would just say, if you've come up with some interpretation that no one else in the body of Christ understands the Bible that way, probably you should question your interpretation rather than 2,000 years of the church. It's a pride issue. I've come up with this insight. And you need to be warned against that no matter who would say what. We go back to the Word above any human experience. And if you will do that, as Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, you'll be equipped for every good work. You'll be prepared. You'll be matured. Prepared for every good work. In the last days, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2, the reason people are going to follow the Antichrist is because they did not receive a love for the truth, a love for God's Word, and they're gullible. And I believe we're seeing that in this day and age. And human experience is being elevated above God's Word. And human experience is a slippery foundation. This is a solid rock. Jesus says, build your life on my Word. And doesn't matter what happens, you're going to stand because His Word is truth. It's like a rock. Let me give you some other scriptures that just speak about the power of God's Word. Write these down, and I'll just quickly quote some of them. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, says, Paul says he's able to build, the Word of God is able to build you up. And he says, I'm innocent because I haven't shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Matthew 4, verse 4 says that we're to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You could trust your life, your existence, upon every word that proceeds out of God's mouth. 2 Timothy 3:16 says the Word of God is there to convict, it confronts, it rebukes us. How often have we read the Bible and it's rebuked us? That's a good thing when that happens, because we need to be corrected, right? Because we don't have a perfect heart. We don't live a perfect life. We need to be confronted with God's Word on a continual basis. And that's part of my prayer. I want people to get saved. I want people to mature. But I also want the Word of God to confront people as we come in to our service, because it confronts me as I begin to study it. I want to confront all of us on an ongoing, continual basis, because we're not at that point of perfect maturity yet. And I'm encouraged when people come to me and say, boy, you know, what you were saying was exactly what I needed to hear today. Or they say, you must have been following me around. Or did you aim that message at me? And, you know, I want to tell them, yes, I did. I did aim it at you and the person next to you and the person. I want everyone to be impacted by God's Word. And that's where my trust is, that God's going to speak through the Word to convict as well as to build up. Psalm 119:105 says it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Romans 15, verse 4 says it's there to give hope. People come in discouraged. It speaks about the promises that God has given to us and inspires us. Isaiah 55:10-11 says that God's Word goes out and accomplishes the purpose for which He sends it. And of course, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says it's living and active. And it judges the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. See, we don't know our own heart. You read the Bible and it exposes the heart. Sometimes it confirms, hey, what, your heart's in the right place in that situation. And oftentimes it says it's not in the right place. And it goes deep into the motive and manifests what's deep in the heart. I love the Word of God for that, because I don't want to be the same. I want to be changed. But I do want to read two other scriptures that speak of the power of God's Word there in the book of Psalms, chapter 19. Psalm 19, verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, See, that's why it corrects us, because it's perfect and we are not. Then it says, converting the soul. Converting the soul. And I don't think that David here is talking about evangelism, although that may be true. The Word of God does convert the soul. But literally, that means bringing back the spirits. And that may be someone that has wandered astray in a small area of the Word of God or in a large area. And they're bringing them back to submission to the authority of the Word of God. As the Word is taught, it brings conversion of hearts. It brings about repentance. It works repentance, conviction in a person's heart. And they return back to that which is true and that which is right. And that's what we need to experience as we gather together. That converting of the soul where people's lives are out of line, it comes back and resubmits. And I also believe that it brings the power as well, the energy of the Spirit of God to motivate you, to encourage your heart to live that holy and godly life. One other passage is Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29. It says, "Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" That's what we need, is a fire to purify and also a hammer to break up hardness of hearts. You know, I encourage you to invite people to church, because I believe the Word of God is going to confront them. And if they're in the Catholic Church and I happen to mention something about the Catholic Church, don't get nervous. Realize that's perfect timing for them to be there. If I speak on homosexuality and they're homosexual, praise God. If I speak on adultery and they're living together, that's what they need to hear. And their heart may be hard, "Oh, I'll never go back to your church." Well, or maybe they're going to be convicted. Now don't try and base it and look ahead, what's he going to be teaching? Just bring him. God will have his word like a rock and break the hardness of hearts. I believe in the power of God's word. Even as I'm teaching it, primarily the body of Christ, it's going out, it's touching people's hearts, and then at the end I bring that invitation to receive the Lord. It'll eventually break that hard hearts. I only got through 4 points. And I knew I wasn't going to get through all of them, but I will close with one last passage here in the book of Hebrews. And I wanted to look at the danger of being a teacher. You guys don't want to hear that, I could tell. I'll just give you the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1 says, "Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies." Teachers can get prideful over things that they learn. James chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." Moses received a stricter judgment not being able to go in the land because all the priority and privilege that he had to speak with God face to face. Teachers that are set aside, that are laboring in the Word of God, they have a privilege, and God will hold them to a stricter accountability. So don't rush into being a teacher unless you're called, because there's a severe judgment in this life as well as in the life to come. But don't back away from being a teacher if God's called you to. Get out of the boat like Peter and start walking on the water and keep your eyes on Christ. And turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 5. And I do believe this is meant, maybe not as severe as the writer of Hebrews says, but this is an exhortation for those that have the gift of teaching to start teaching. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." God has distributed the gift of teaching, not only as a pastor or two pastors, but the gift of teachers into the body of Christ for the equipping of the saints. And my prayer is that the Lord would raise up more small groups and more home Bible studies, and that is a great place to be able to learn the teaching of the Word of God in preparation for teaching behind a pulpit, if ultimately that's what God's called you to. And for some, it's just a matter of fear, and fear of the unknown. The only way to see if God's called you to teach and raised you up as a teacher is to teach. And the power of God works through you, and you sense that, and others are blessed and touched by what you do, that's the Spirit of God working through your life. You need to step out in faith. I don't think that's for everybody tonight, but I believe that's for some. You don't want to hide your light under a bushel. Let it shine. Use what God has given to you to bring in grace to the body of Christ. And if you don't, you're only going to mature to a certain degree in your walk with Jesus Christ. There's something about the gift of a teacher that God placed in the body of Christ. He matures as he teaches. He learns more. The teacher learns the most. If you want to mature and God's given you the ability to teach, you need to start teaching. Otherwise, it's going to kind of plateau out. And, you know, we would think it very strange if there was a 15-year-old here with diapers on tonight, right? A 1-year-old, 2-year-old, someone that's being potty trained, it's acceptable. But just think of someone in the body of Christ that's been taught over and over and over again. They have so much, but they're not giving that out. And they're staying like a spiritual baby in the area of ministry. It's not good. You want to grow and mature, this gift, I believe that teaching gift develops, you get more comfortable with it through the exercise of that gift. So begin to pray, begin to seek after the Lord, and ask God to open that door of opportunity for you. One of the ways that I'd encourage you to do so is to see Pastor Mark. We have guys that share a short message on Saturday nights at the bookstore. Sometimes a devotional, sometimes a dance, sometimes a teaching, sometimes an exhortation. I think it's a good place to be able to begin if you've been faithful in other areas of ministry here. Seek him out. Maybe at a home Bible study. Start going. Make it known to that person that's leading the home Bible study that eventually you feel called to teach. These teachers want to raise up other teachers so more home fellowships can begin and develop and grow.